Senator Boden.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members remaining under the order of business of motions and resolutions. We'll revert to the third order of business. Messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 1937 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee, so adopted. House File Number 1937, a bill for an act relating to state government establishing a budget for the Department of Military Affairs and the Department of Veterans Affairs. House File Number 1937 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Mitchell, for motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move that the conference committee report on House File 1937 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Senator Mitchell moves that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File Number 1937 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. Any additional discussion? Seeing none. Senator Mitchell, will you explain the bill? They would like for you to explain the bill.
I would be glad to, Mr. President. So this is the omnibus for the Veterans Bill. This is $128 million of new funding into veterans programs so that include tackling homelessness, hunger, helping to build some of the new facilities and make sure that they're properly accommodated. From when this was first passed on the floor, there's additional money going to the Veterans Museum. There's also additional money going to a holistic health program that combines fitness and mental health and things that will hopefully positively impact issues members sometimes face, like depression. Of course, we want to tackle the suicide problem, things of that nature. A lot of other programs for veterans to connect and be part of their community. So I look forward to a yes vote on this final passage of the bill.
Any other discussions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Veterans Conference Committee report. Members, the bill has been improved and has been given opportunity for things that we probably didn't have in our bill that were in other bill. And there are things in the bill here that are greatly enhanced, and yet there are things in the bill that we maybe wouldn't necessarily like. But for the most part, this bill is very good for veterans. As Senator Mitchell has already mentioned, that across the board it has a positive influence on military affairs and veterans affairs. So I appreciate a green vote on behalf of the conference committee report.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The motion prevailed. The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File Number 1937, a bill for an act relating to state government establishing a budget for the Department of Military Affairs and the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll. Senator Howell.
Thank you, Mr. President. And for the most part, members, this is a good bill. But there's two provisions in it. Well, actually, there's one provision in this bill that I have an issue with that I can't get over. And there's one provision that is missing from this bill that I think really lacks. The provision that I really don't like in this bill is the Metro Meals on Wheels. We all want to make sure veterans are fed. The problem I have with this is it deals with just the metro area, and it leaves all the outstate folks without anything. So, members, I think that this is a divisive part, and I wish it was better. And I also wish that money would have been better served going to some of our veterans' homes that are struggling getting folks to work there. We've got HVAC problems in some of our buildings. A lot of that $1 million could have solved some of those issues. The one piece that's missing is I know there's money in there, but there's no language that allows a dependent or a spouse to get buried at a state cemetery without cost, as you can do in any federal cemetery. So those are my two big issues, folks, and that's why I'm going to be opposing the bill. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the secretary will take the roll on the final passage of the House file as amended by the conference committee. Senator Morrison, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Paugh votes aye.
Senator Paugh votes aye.
And Mr. President, Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye. Members, as a friendly reminder, please vote. Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dreheim votes aye.
Senator Dreheim votes aye.
Senator Coleman votes aye.
And Senator Coleman votes aye. All members having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There have been 61 ayes and 5 noes. The bill is passed and its title agreed to as amended by the conference committee. Continue on messages from the House. The secretary will read the next message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the conference committee on House file number 2335 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee, so adopted. House file number 2335, a bill for an act relating to housing, establishing a budget for Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. House file number 2335 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Port for motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House file 2335 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
To that motion, Senator Port, will you tell us a little more about the bill? Senator Port.
Absolutely. Mr. President, this bill is pretty similar to how it was when it left this committee. It spends about $500 million, just over that, on supply, building supply, making sure that we are growing the huge deficit that we have in supply. It also spends about $200 million to keep people in stable housing with rental assistance through a new state voucher program, bridges, homework starts with home, things like that, and has over $200 million invested in closing our home ownership gap. The biggest change to this bill from pre-conference committee is the addition of the quarter-cent metro-wide sales tax, which will go to cities and counties to help with the housing needs that they have clearly conveyed to us. I ask members for a green vote.
Any additional discussion? Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Port yield for a question?
Senator Port, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Port. Can you provide some more detail into the tax increase that's in this bill? Can you provide a breakdown of how those funds will be distributed, how much is anticipated to be collected, and let's start with those two questions. Thank you.
Senator Port, to the question, when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sorry, I'm searching for the page on the bill that talks about the distribution. I can tell you that a portion of it goes directly to the Bring It Home program, which is the state-based voucher program to be distributed within the 7-county metro area. The other portions of it get distributed through cities and counties that they can use as they desire in their metro programs, in the metro 7-county metro area, to the housing programs that they already offer, or whatever sort of housing needs they have. Those differ from county to county. We know Hennepin County has a special need around unhoused individuals. We know other counties have needs around supportive housing that they've asked us for assistance for. They would be able to use those funds as they need according to their counties and cities' needs.
Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Port, if she would yield for another question.
Senator Port, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Port. In the conversation, you just stated that a portion of it, I think you said 25% of it, would go to the statewide rental assistance program. So my question is, how are the dollars, if I heard correctly, how is the one quarter of the funds collected that are put into the statewide program? Is the intention that those dollars would go to statewide housing assistance program or assistance, or would it go, even though it's a statewide program, remain into recipients that are in the 7-county metro area?
Senator Port, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Lucero, it goes to the counties in the metro area, so it would go to housing vouchers in the 7-county metro area.
Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members. I encourage a no vote on adopting the conference report. We are in the midst of a $19 billion surplus. The surplus is the direct result of overtaxation. Mr. President and members, the needs of Minnesota can be met without having to further raise taxes. It is an incredible, incredible use and decision making to include a tax increase to further crush the backs of hardworking Minnesotans. A sales tax increase is going to further hurt those who are hurting the most. And the root cause of the housing shortage, the explosion in the cost of housing, whether it be rentals or homeownership, is largely influenced by government actions, government overregulation, which is making it very difficult to build at affordable prices. And so government has created this problem through overregulation, and now the proposed solution by the Democrat majority is to increase taxes to fund the explosion in prices. It never ceases to amaze me that government and Democrat policies have created a problem, and that the solution is to increase taxes to solve the problem that Democrats have created to begin with. Members, this is a terrible, terrible idea. And it is another example of how tone deaf the majority is to those that are hurting by throwing another tax increase on their backs. Members, again, I encourage a no vote. Thank you.
Senator Klein.
Mr. President, I request a roll call.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Senator Jaskowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Port yield for question?
Senator Port, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Jaskowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senator Port, there's a sales tax increase in this bill for the metro area. Sales taxes are one of the most regressive taxes that we have in Minnesota. This is a tax on poor people, and you have it in the housing bill. Can you tell us how taxing poor people is going to help them afford housing or anything else? They're going to have less money left. Can you tell us how making them less financially capable and taking their money from them is going to help them afford any housing?
Senator Port.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Jaskowski, I'm happy to answer that question. Housing is the most regressive cost that we have facing families in Minnesota right now. Most families of the lowest income are paying more than 50% of their income, 50% members of their income on housing. The wealthiest among us pay just a fraction of that, even for the most expensive and expansive housing in Minnesota. It is just a fraction of their wealth. But for Minnesotans earning the least, they pay a large majority of their income to stay housed and have very little left for anything else. We have done almost nothing to address that as a state over the last 10 decades. And frankly, Mr. President, we have failed Minnesotans in that regard. This quarter cent sales tax, which I can remind you does not come on food or clothing, essential items, which the lowest income among us is the majority of their spending. It comes on other items, and for the lowest income among us, for all of us, you would need to spend $20,000 additional dollars on taxable income to pay an extra $50 a year in tax. So, yes, I agree, Senator Jaskowski, it is a tax on all of us. But it is a tax that will benefit the lowest income among us the most and keep them in stable housing, which is the most regressive cost that we have on Minnesotans.
Senator Jaskowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Port. Well, so members, we heard the chair say that there are people who are spending 50% of their income on housing. So members, that would mean that they would have 50% of their income available for something else after they pay for their housing. Now, members, after we tax these poor people with this bill, this Democrat tax bill on poor people, after we do this, they're going to have less than 50% of their money left. It's going to be less and less and less. We are making the poor people of Minnesota poorer with this bill. The Democrats are wrong-headed in this direction, and forget the notion that people have to have some money left to even pay for housing or pay for food or pay for transportation or anything they pay for. But we are taking, again, like the bill yesterday or the day before, we are taking the money away from them that they have. They will have less and less and less money. This is making the poorest Minnesotans poorer in this Democrat housing bill that is now a Democrat housing tax bill. Members, we're going in the wrong direction. This bill is going to hurt Minnesotans and make them poor. I urge a no vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to make a motion to reject the conference report, send it back to committee, conference committee. I would ask for a roll call for that motion.
Senator Lucero, just so you know, that what happens is that when we vote on it, that's your opportunity to reject. What is in order is not to reject, but if you want to return it to the conference committee, that would be the language. So like for an example, if you want to reject it and the bill be referred to the conference committee, is that what you want to do, Senator Lucero?
So moved, Mr. President.
All right. So Senator Lucero Move that the recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2335 be rejected and the bill be re-referred to the conference committee as formally constituted for further consideration. Senator Friends.
Mr. President, I request a roll call.
Roll call requested, roll call granted.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Go again?
Yeah, I wasn't done yet. Thank you for that. So I did ask for a roll call, so I appreciate them doubling down on the roll call. But what I wanted to bring up is the reason why. As I've already mentioned, the tax increase is something that we should reject. But above and beyond that, history demonstrates that when government subsidizes something, there's only one result, and that is whatever it's subsidizing increases in price. I need only point to college tuition. Government continues to subsidize college tuition, and the price has not gone down. Government is subsidizing health care, and the price of health care is not going down. So, Mr. President, as government in the state of Minnesota, as Democrats are proposing, continue to push to subsidize housing, I can guarantee the cost of housing, rental or otherwise, is not going to decrease. It is only going to increase. And so this is a terrible idea, not only to tax, but to further subsidize without solving the actual root cause. And again, for that, I encourage a green vote on my motion to send it back to conference. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the secretary will take the roll on the Lucero motion. Members, please vote. Senator Morrison, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Paugh votes no.
Senator Paugh votes no.
Mr. President, Senator Dietzick votes no.
Senator Dietzick votes no. Members, remember, you need to vote from your desk. Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dreheim votes aye.
Senator Dreheim votes aye.
And Senator Coleman votes aye.
And Senator Coleman votes aye. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 32 ayes and 34 noes, the motion is not, is rejected, fails. Now we're on the underlining motion, which is Senator Port's motion. Senator Lucero?
Thank you, Mr. President. On this vote, I encourage a no vote to not adopt the conference report.
The secretary will take the roll.
House file number 2335. Oh, excuse me.
On her motion. Members, please vote. This is the motion to adopt the committee report. Senator Morrison, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye.
And Mr. President, Senator Fate votes aye.
Senator Fate votes aye. Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dreheim votes no.
Senator Dreheim votes no.
Senator Coleman votes no.
And Senator Coleman votes no. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 34 ayes and 32 noes, the motion prevails. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House file number 2335, a bill for an act relating to housing, establishing a budget for the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency.
Third reading. Any further discussion? Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. President. This next vote we're about to take will send the its final passage. So I absolutely encourage a no vote once again. But if this does pass, Mr. President, and it is signed into law, I have the privilege of being one of the senators that represents a border community to the seven-county metro area. Mr. President, members, and all of Minnesota, come to our community. Come outside the seven-county metro area to do your shopping, to do your business when possible. You can decrease the increased cost that Democrats are going to be thrusting upon you by spending your money outside the seven-county metro area. There are great places, and we welcome with open arms. Mr. President, members, vote no on this bill. Thank you.
The secretary would take the roll on final
passage. Mr. President. Mr. President.
Oh, Senator Duckworth.
Thank you. I appreciate that. As a member that does represent one of the counties in the seven-county metro area, we do appreciate your business, so you can keep on visiting. but here's what I'll say, Mr. President, about this bill specifically in regard to the tax increase. In listening to the people of our state, especially as we were telling them and promising them how we were going to govern this session when we were running for office not that long ago, we told them, we looked them in the eye and explained to them, with a $19+ billion surplus, we would not be increasing taxes on them, we would be eliminating the tax on Social Security, and that we would be refunding a significant portion of that $19 billion surplus to them. So, Mr. President, if folks were running for office and explaining to constituents and the people of their districts who they were trying to earn the vote of that they wouldn't be raising taxes, that they'd be fighting to return their hard-earned dollars, and that they would be trying to exempt a tax on Social Security, I don't know how you look those constituents in the face and tell them you did what you promised them you'd do. With a record surplus, we are seriously talking about and contemplating and getting ready to pass one of many tax increases that's being proposed this session. Mr. President, the health of our state's economy, the health of the people of Minnesota's pocketbooks is on the line. And we are in the last couple of weeks of session, and bills like this that increase taxes on folks when the cost of living is going up, when, oh, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention to the reports, simply Google the debt of Americans as it stands today. It's through the roof again, members. The amount of debt on credit cards, the amount of debt when it comes to buying a car, the amount of debt when it comes to purchasing a home is at record high levels. Also at record high levels is the amount of cash the state of Minnesota is sitting on. And rather than returning it to folks or reducing their tax burden, we're talking about increasing it. That's the wrong answer, Mr. President, it's not a responsible way to govern. We're not doing right by the people, and we're setting them up for failure, and we're setting our state up for a financial calamity in the not-too-distant future. So I'll end by saying this, Mr. President. If you were out trying to have reasonable conversations with folks that you were going to be representing in the state Senate, and you told them, you made promises to them regarding not increasing taxes, when it came to relieving their financial burden and helping them afford their lifestyles and provide for their loved ones, then this would be an easy no vote. There may be other good things in this bill, Mr. President, but an across-the-board increase on the tax of the people of Minnesota, especially in a certain geographic region, does not fit with what people were promised, and it's not doing right by them. Thank you.
Members, as a gentle reminder, I want to remind you what business is before the body. We are on the conference committee, the housing conference committee. I know that we feel like we want to expand that, but I'm just forewarning you that we want to be as thoughtful as possible. Senator Abler.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I rise as a person who voted for this bill when it left the floor. And I saw a lot of merit in it. I appreciated the temperate approach. I was appreciative that they did not have the tax increase of the house in it. Housing is very important to my district, and challenges remain so in many places. I voted for one tax increase, Mr. President, in my career in 2008. It was actually a package, included a sales tax increase, 0.25% for transportation way back then, and there's been a lot of discussion, both pro and con, about that. It seems to come up even yet. But Mr. President, as a Metro County legislator in Anoka County, with the ring next to me are other counties that don't have that extra 0.25% sales tax. And this would be a sales tax that would also be unique to the 7-county metro. I was advised at that time that if we went 0.5 cent, that there would be people buying implements in Elk River compared to going to Anoka. And that was a bad idea, that the margins were that close on what people were willing to spend. As we add on more and more metro sales taxes, we do risk good news to Sherburne County. You're going to get some more of our business. But Mr. President, I just had a novel thought. Just looking at the way the vote's going on this concurrence, send it back to conference thing, it's really very interesting that a good number of members from Greater Minnesota are going to vote for this bill to tax me when they don't have to pay the tax. And I think that's most novel. And I would actually suggest, Mr. President, that those members who are not going to be subject to the tax would, in fact, recuse themselves from this vote, realizing they really shouldn't be jurisdictioning themselves to tax my citizens in the name of something that they think is a worthy cause for us to spend money on housing that we find important. And in today's business section, there was an article about business impact on things like sales taxes, which is part of this bill. And I have a very short quote I'm just going to read. This author, a fellow named Evan Ramstead, had an article, and just two paragraphs. It's been a decade since Democrats controlled the full legislature and the governor's office, and they used their power this spring to make the biggest increase in the state budget since 1970s, also while adding policies and taxes that will raise the cost of doing business in Minnesota. And just to finish up, there was an interesting thought that really provoked me. They remarked that as we approach the end of the session, that some of the excesses in their thinking are being recognized. And this is the punchline, Mr. President. And some welcome signs of moderation are appearing. Mr. President, I voted for a really moderate bill leaving. I voted for a bill that lived within the means of a mere $17 billion surplus to try to handle the grave needs of the state, which is, Mr. President, I don't think that's a mere surplus. I think it's a huge surplus. Ordinarily, we've only had like $3 or $4 billion in growth to fund all the needs we have, and now we can't survive on only $17 billion. Mr. President, I didn't run in my district that's a swing district. I don't think most members that ran, even in districts that weren't swing, that leaned way left, that they were going to have all these extra burdens on them. So, members, If you live in greater Minnesota and you're to vote for this bill, think about it. I don't know why you want my people to pay taxes when you haven't included yours. Mr. President, I urge a red vote. Thank you.
Senator Maquaid.
Well, thank you, Mr. President and members. I'm very, very excited to vote green for this bill. When I was running, when I knock on doors, what I hear from my constituents is that I want to make sure people in this community can live here, can stay here. But I also hear about the people who are unhoused and homeless in our community. They stand on the street corners at the corner of Cedar and 42, which is the second or third largest or busiest intersection in the state of Minnesota in the great, great city of Apple Valley. They stand right outside where my doctor's office is. There's a family that is often at the corner of Lake Nokomis. There's like three children, one in a stroller. They're unhoused. Mr. President, it is absolutely bananas to me that the people that are impacted by this bill are being completely left out of the conversation, and instead, we're having a conversation about spending 50 cents more every $200 you spend. And I was trying to think, Mr. President, the last time I spent $200, not a big shopper, which is evident by the oftentimes I repeat my clothing on this floor. The last time I spent $200 was for my birthday. I bought like fancy face creams and lotions and hyaluronic acid because a friend told me I would really like it. And it was great. I love it. It's a great skincare routine. It's the first time I had one in my 37 years of life. It's the first time I spent $200 on face stuff. 50 cents more. I will gladly pay 50 cents more on my face creams so that 150,000 families in the state of Minnesota won't be homeless anymore. Gladly and happily. This is a crisis that we are in. The need is $2 billion. There's not enough money in the surplus to address the need. We have to be very realistic about that. And so this creates a sustainable, affordable funding stream to make sure that the 15-year waiting list that people wait for on Section 8, they don't have to do that anymore in Minnesota. 150,000 Minnesotans are going to be helping, Mr. President. I'm so, so, so proud of this bill. I'm so grateful for this bill because I hear about housing all of the time. And while some of my colleagues want to talk about housing, there's not enough supply and people are unhoused, but I want to do anything about it, we're doing something about it today. So thank you, Mr. President. I urge members to vote green.
Senator Liskey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have the honor to represent Senate District 58. And as the best way to describe it, it represents both parts of the 7-county metro area and parts of the rural areas of Minnesota. So if you're ever wanting to do a price comparison, as we're hearing a debate here, you can come on down to Senate District 58. You can shop in the metro county, and then you can shop outside of the metro counties. So I feel free to come on and shop at both places to price compare. Thank you.
Senator Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to thank Senator Port for this bill, this conference committee report. You know, one of the voices we haven't heard from yet in this debate is from the children. And boy, I tell you guys, it's kind of a drag. All of a sudden, it's November 13th or January 17th or May 8th. And all of a sudden, this new kid shows up. They don't have any friends. They're probably a little bit behind in school because their parents just can't get that stable housing. And when our kids are hurting, our society hurts. And I think what this bill does, if it keeps a few families in those homes throughout that child's education, so they're not hopping from one school district to the next over that education, I think it's the right thing to do. And you know, I know a lot of us disagree on a lot of issues, but the one thing I know we can all agree on is that the best film Hollywood ever produced was It's a Wonderful Life. And in that film, It's a Wonderful Life, when George Bailey is explaining to the business leaders the importance of home ownership, and when George Bailey says, doesn't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers? And for that, and for keeping those kids in a stable home so they can finish their school year, I thank you, Senator Port, and thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nelson.
I thank you, Mr. President. Well, I have to rise on the occasion I voted for this housing bill when it came off this floor. But I have to say, it's just really hard to get around the fact that even in the light of our $19.5 billion budget surplus, the bill that came back to from conference committee has a tax increase in it. So I find that very difficult to put my mind around that we would be increasing taxes at a time that we have such a massive surplus. Now, I'm going to tell you about a lot of the things in this bill that I think are important, that I do think are critical for Minnesotans. Number one, the Challenge Program, new construction, rehabilitation of both rental and owner-occupied buildings. Greater Minnesota Workforce Housing Development. Manufactured Home Park, one of the best ways that we can help. I still believe that home ownership is the way to build generational wealth. And so the things that I'm looking for in this bill are the things that actually help people with home ownership and help build generational wealth. There's also the Homeowner Assistance Fund, $50 million. There are the housing infrastructure bonds, $100 million. There's preserving naturally occurring affordable housing, something important in all of our districts. And $25 million for supportive housing. We know how important that is, particularly at this time when we have so many Minnesotans who have faced mental health challenges and substance abuse disorders coming from growing during this time of pandemic. And there's $40 million for homeowner investment grants and $150 million for first generational home buyers grants. These are all important pieces. And it's just unconscionable that they would be paired with a tax increase at a time when we have such a massive surplus. But I must note that this tax increase is in the metro area only. And I do find that interesting. I'm glad to see that it's not a statewide tax increase, but it is rather disappointing that there would be any tax increases in the bills before us when we have such a massive surplus.
Senator Port, before we vote.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I'm really excited to bring this bill before our body. I want to say a few quick thank yous. First, I want to thank Leader Dietzick for her fierce advocacy for affordable housing. She mentored me over the last few years on this committee and then trusted me to lead in this area as a chair, and I want to thank her for that. I also want to thank Vice Chair Bolden for her partnership and steady voice for Greater Minnesota. The incredible staff on this committee, Jack Dudley, Courtney Schaff, Will Freeman, our nonpartisan staff, Dan Mueller and Laura Painter, and especially my CA, Davin Sokup, for supporting not just me, but our entire committee through the process. I also want to thank Commissioner Jennifer Ho and her staff, especially Ryan, Dan, Lael, and Amanda, who offered up a transformational budget in partnership with the governor and lieutenant governor, and then worked with us all the way through the process to ensure that our bill was as strong as it could be. Our entire committee, Lee Lucero, Senators Draheim, Rest, Muhammad, Housley, and Pa, all invested their passion for this issue and made our bill and our committee better for it. And finally, I want to thank the advocates who showed up time after time and brought the real humanity of this story to our committee. They made sure that our bill was focused on the realities of what Minnesotans are facing by bringing them and telling their stories and sharing their stories. And I'm incredibly grateful for that work. I want to thank my partner in these last few weeks on this, Chair Howard. When Mike and I sat down together towards the beginning of this session, we knew our goal, our shared goal, is to end child homelessness in Minnesota. And this bill takes a huge step in that direction. By addressing supply, rental assistance, and closing the home ownership gap, we take a huge step in stabilizing the housing crisis in Minnesota
and stabilizing families and making sure that no child in Minnesota is unhoused. I know, as it's been brought up, that this bill has a quarter cent metro sales tax, but that will provide ongoing funding to cities and counties, as well as the voucher program, to help our seven-county metro area continue to advance their work to end homelessness. As I've met with cities and counties over the year, not just on housing, but on all sorts of issues, and with my own cities and counties, always, one of their top three issues was always housing, to every single county across the state that I talked to. Housing is the foundation of our lives, and our counties want to address it. I hope this bill and the dedicated funding with it is the new baseline, the new normal for how we look at housing. Thank you to all of our committee for your work on this issue. This bill is a huge step in the direction. I ask for a green vote to go big so every Minnesotan can go home.
The secretary will take the roll on the final passage of the House file as amended by the conference committee. Members, please vote. Senator Morrison, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Dietzig votes aye.
Senator Dietzig votes aye.
Senator Fatte votes aye.
Senator Fatte votes aye.
Mr. President, Senator Herr votes aye.
Senator Herr votes aye. Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Coleman votes no.
Senator Coleman votes no.
Senator Dreheim votes no.
Senator Dreheim votes no. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There have been 34 ayes and 32 noes. The conference committee is adopted and passes and is title agreed to. Members, we will revert back to the agenda. Remaining under the order of business of motions and resolutions, Senator Bowden to designate special orders.
Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. Members, the list is on your desk.
Thank you, members. The special orders has been designated, and you'll find that list on your desk. We'll start with general orders number 49, which is House File 800, Frentz, certain labor agreements and memorandums of understanding ratification. Senator Frentz.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, members. Proud to present this ratification bill. Members, House File 800 ratifies two collective bargaining agreements. For context, as you know, we must ratify labor agreements. These are for the 2022-2023 biennium. Mr. President, that means these Minnesotans in two categories: the Minnesota Government Engineering Council, which has about 1,100 members, and the Minnesota State College faculty for community and technical colleges, which is almost 4,000 members, have been working without their contracts ratified despite them being approved many months ago. This is kind of like us coming to work and saying maybe they'll agree to pay us what they told us they were going to pay us before we start working. I'll just add, Mr. President, that in the other body, this bill passed 130-0. Members, a few brief highlights of these two ratifications. Again, these are for fiscal year 2022-2023. Members may remember that the other 18 contracts that we're required to ratify have already been ratified by this body. The reason these two are coming along now is that the agreements were simply reached later. For the Engineering Council members, again, that's 1,100 Minnesotans that help us with their engineering. The contract provides about a 2.5% across-the-board increase effective July 1st, 2021. How much does this cost? The collective increased cost is about $11,900,000 in fiscal year 2022-23 and will cost another $18,200,000 for the next biennium. For the State College faculty at community and technical colleges, the agreement has a number of step increases averaging about 3.2% for faculty meeting specific criteria and provides a $1,700 across-the-board increase for all faculty. These are the folks that teach at our community colleges, our technical colleges, are critical to giving us the best trained, best educated workforce. And the cost of those contracts is $28,700,000 for the current fiscal biennium and $40,400,000 for fiscal year 24-25. Mr. President, I'm happy to stand for questions. As I said, members, this passed unanimously in the other body, and I hope members will consider supporting the bill, the men and women that do this work for our state, and the promise that we already made months ago to honor these pay increases. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other discussion on House File 800? The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File Number 800, a bill for an act relating to state government ratifying certain labor agreements and memorandums of understanding.
Third reading. Any other discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on final passage of House File 800. Members, please vote. Senator Morrison, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Fate votes aye.
Senator Fate votes aye.
And Senator Herr votes aye.
Senator Herr votes aye. Senator Kupick, are you voting? Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Coleman votes aye.
Senator Coleman votes aye.
Senator Dreheim votes aye.
Senator Dreheim votes aye. Senator Ukey, you voting? Thank you. All senators having voted. All senators having voted who desires a vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There have been 56 ayes and 10 noes. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Members remaining on special orders, we will now go to number 146 on general orders. That is House File 24, Senator McEwen. Lead Drinking Water Service Lines Grant Program Establishment Appropriating Money. To that point, Senator McEwen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Colleagues, it is my great honor to present to you our bill today to take head-on and address the problem of replacing Minnesota's lead pipes. This bill will appropriate $240 million, which is a great start, an excellent down payment, if you will, that with federal funding will amount to about half of what is needed to replace all of Minnesota's lead pipes. So as we've heard this bill through committee, and I've said it over and over again, and I think all of us know this ad nauseum by now, but no amount of lead is safe. And the concern, of course, for all of us is to make sure that we get the lead out of our water, as it disproportionately affects children, young children in particular, pregnant women, developing fetuses. This is a very, very important bill for our public health. And there's a lot of benefits as well that go along with our passage of this bill. Lead pipes and high lead levels in drinking water disproportionately affect low-income communities. And also, lead service lines and this problem of how to replace them and what our plan is to replace them is a statewide issue. So cities all across our state, urban, rural, north to south, east to west, many, many of our communities are dealing with this issue. We also have a movement afoot at the federal level from our federal EPA that is now requiring the inventorying of lead service lines and is eventually going to require replacement of those lines nationwide. So now is our time to act, to begin systematically replacing these lead service lines. The bill sets a goal of having replaced all of the lead service lines in Minnesota by 2033. That is perhaps somewhat ambitious, but it is doable. And this bill sets us off in the right direction that we need to make this happen. Additionally, this is projected to contribute to the creation of over 24,000 job years and 2,400 jobs over these next 10 years just in the replacement of these lines. So this bill is a win-win-win. It's a win for our rural communities, it's a win for our urban communities, it's a win for low-income communities, for people who otherwise would not have the resources to be able to pay for this. The way that the funding is set up will create a framework whereby homeowners won't have to foot the cost of these replacements, which can run into the thousands of dollars. So members, I ask for your support. I hope that we can get a beautiful bipartisan support for this bill. And I will stand for any questions. Thank you.
Any further discussions on House File 24? Senator Abler?
Well, I can wait till third reading, Mr. President, if you want.
Okay, no problem. Any other discussion? The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File Number 24, a bill for an act relating to capital investment, establishing a grant program to replace lead drinking water service lines.
Third reading.
Mr. President, I apologize. I have an amendment.
I know.
So now you have to make a motion for us to go back to the second reading.
Mr. President, I would move to reconsider the third reading.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator McEwen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. And my apologies, colleagues. I had this, and then I jumped immediately to the content of the bill. Mr. President, I have the A2 amendment. It contains some...
Senator McEwen offers the A2 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator McEwen moves to amend House File Number 24 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 as follows. Page 2, after line 10, insert. This is the A2 amendment.
Now to your A2 amendment, Senator McEwen.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. The A2 amendment makes some minor changes agreed to by the coalition around moving this bill forward, also in cooperation with our agencies to make sure that the language is where we need it to be, to make sure that our definitions align with EPA definitions. As I said, coming up, we're going to have to meet some of those requirements. So we're just wanting to button up the bill to make sure that it is in the best shape that it can be. And Mr. President and members, when I spoke to the content of the bill, I was speaking to it as if this had already been adopted. So again, my apologies, and I ask for your support on the A2.
Any questions, any discussion on the A2? All in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The A2 is adopted. Any other discussion before we proceed to third reading? No additional discussion. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File Number 24, a bill for an act relating to capital investment establishing a grant program to replace lead drinking water service lines.
Third reading. Now, Senator Abler.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. This bill is so good it deserves the exclamation point of two third readings. My in-laws grew up in St. Paul, and they had lead water pipes. I had just no idea about that, and I'm not going to talk very long, but lead never goes away, Mr. President. You get it in your body, you get it in your neurons, you get it in your brain. There's just no way that you're going to have the opportunities to excel as your gene pool would have determined. And so I just could not be happier to be a co-author. I'm glad it's working out. A lot of this work has been actually too long of a time coming. So members, I urge a green vote on behalf of all the people who want to be all they can be. Thank you.
Any additional discussion on House File 24? Senator McCune, are you okay? Last word.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, members. I just very much want to say thank you to all of the people who worked to put this bill together, to see it through this session. It was a wonderful coalition across the spectrum of coalitions, from the trades and labor to our local municipalities. You see the letters of support here on your desks, and environmental groups as well. So thank you, and I ask for your support.
The secretary will take the roll on final passage of House File 24. Members, please vote. Senator Morrison, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Fatte votes aye.
Senator Fatte votes aye.
And Senator Herr votes aye.
And Senator Herr votes aye. Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Coleman votes aye.
Say it one more time.
Senator Coleman votes aye.
Senator Coleman votes aye.
Senator Dreheim votes aye.
Senator Dreheim votes aye. All senators having voted who desires a vote, the secretary will close the roll. There will be 64 ayes and 2 noes. The bill is passed and is title agreed to. Members, we will now proceed to the 13th order of business. Announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today. Rarick all day. Any additional announcements of Senate interest? Seeing none, Senator Bowden.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Wednesday, May 10th at 11 a.m.
On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The motion prevails and the Senate is now adjourned.